Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Thanks again for joining us on Q Ideas. I'm Paul Perreault from Faith Radio with Gabe Lyons from Q Ideas. Now this week we're presenting an interview that, Gabe, you did back in early September ahead of one of those special One Night Fathom movie events. The event went so well that the producers have decided to do another one night showing on October 17th. And Gabe, now a lot of these movie events that Fathom does, they're purely entertainment, but this one is different and you're excited about. Tell us why.
It delves into a deep matter that doesn't get talked about as much as I wish it did. And that's the subject of the brokenness of humankind, the brokenness of men specifically. And while it applies to all of us, you'll see in the conversation we're going to have today with a filmmaker, a producer, and a writer named Jason Paymer, that the topic we're delving into just doesn't get talked about enough. And with the sort of explicit way in which they take on this topic, I think you're going to be so impressed to watch it, to actually see the latest film that they created that we screened at our Q conference in Nashville, but that you'll also really be taken back to consider, like, what kind of conversations are you having in your own life about some of our most deep and dark secrets? And so I want to welcome into this conversation Jason Paymer, and then I'm going to invite you and give you more details about how you can actually watch their film and see how this might impact you personally. It is so great to have you with us, Jason. Thanks for being a part of the Q podcast. And it was great to meet you back in April when we had Q in Nashville and we were first talking about this amazing story and real conviction that it feels like God just put on your heart to communicate and communicate in a new way through your film, The Heart of Man. So I know you're a writer, producer, filmmaker. And for the people listening, I just want them to hear a little bit from your perspective about what goes into creating a film like this, and to better understand just the man behind this. So first of all, thanks for being with us, but tell us a little bit about how the concept for The Heart of Man even came to be for you.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on this. Thanks for having us at Q in Nashville. That was a fantastic time. A big chunk of our team got to come out, screen the film with your people there. It was incredible. A lot of fun. The first film I did, Rape for Profit, was a film on sex trafficking in a major U.S. city. Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, hopped on and executive produced that. And that was a deep dive into the demand side of this trafficking issue. What is propelling this atrocity? We found men at the center of that. And then the question was, what is driving these men? Like, what is causing them to go on the streets and risk their livelihoods and their jobs, their families? And we found pornography was a huge driver of this behavior. And so in the film Rape for Profit, I'm on camera confronting these guys, these perpetrators, the pimps all over the city of Seattle with various vice units for about a year. And it was along that journey that a few mentors in the city said, hey, what about those guys? And I was like, what do you mean about those guys? Like, what about their hearts? And I'm like, it has nothing to do with me. I'm here to protect these girls and that's it. And the irony is now I'm on a film called The Heart of Man, which is not only about that guy. It's about me and my own heart, and that I'm a few clicks away from becoming that guy. And that if we stay on the behavior level, the fruit of this illicit tree, we're never going to deal with it. The fruit will continue to grow. As long as it keeps getting picked, it'll grow. And so we have to get to the roots, within the roots of the hearts of men. And so we kind of went on this journey of, well, how do we invite them into the better yes? And then it kind of grew from there. And it was like, well, it's not just for males. It's for our female counterparts. We need both sexes engaged in this conversation of identity and sexuality.
I love this, man. I love the intentionality to how you've approached just filmmaking in general and your own calling, where you started with this approach to saying, hey, we want to expose what's happening with trafficking. But then as you kept learning and being educated, again, like, this is what I love about prophetic filmmakers, is you're not going, what's the best story to tell to make a lot of money? What's the best way to, you know, make a quick buck? It was actually about, what's the truth? How do we get to the truth? How do I make sure we talk about the truth of the matter in a really compelling way. And then that's what you've done. Like, I've never quite seen a film in this medium. I mean, I feel like you guys have established almost a new medium in how you're trying to do storytelling. And I can't wait for people listening to actually see this because it's incredibly compelling.
Yeah, we keep getting told that it is sort of this new path, new stream. I mean, the MPAA, the rating company, when they first took our film in to rate it, they didn't have a category for it. It's not a docudrama because the narrative is its own thing. So it's kind of two genres melded together, and it's why it took us so long in post-production, because it was like, is this ever going to work? And finally, I think we hit a place where we found the right rhythm of real-life stories of people talking about their vices, their addiction. They're dealing with shame, and then kind of countering that with the voice of the father and the heart of the father for them in the midst of their darkest moments. And then it was like, what parable can help hold that? What's big enough to hold sort of any vice or any addiction? And it's this ancient prodigal son story that we found. And there were some really great inspirations for that. Prodigal God by Keller, The Prodigal by Henry Nouwen. Just some really insightful looks at the first century AD context for the story. It really should be called Prodigal God. This is what Keller gets after. It's this sort of reckless, gracious, overly generous father. And that is what we find in the midst of every one of our caves of life. And that ice can look different for each one of us. For some of us, it's going to be the sexually illicit. For some of us, it's going to be alcohol, or it's going to be drug, whatever. I mean, literally, you can kind of put anything in that, and the story is still the same. You find yourself walking away enticed by something else, only to find that when it's revealed to be what it actually is, it's there to destroy you and not to give you life or purpose or fulfillment. Yeah. And yet the father's right there playing his melody for you, inviting you back to play with him. Mm-hmm. It's not grabbing you by the shirt collar, dragging you back into his presence. It's like this winsome, wooing invitation that never ends.
Yeah. Well, and the way you did it, I mean, just to describe to those of you listening, it was so beautiful because it's not only beautifully shot and an incredible environment, but you're following the story of a man who's just, you can tell, going through all of the trauma of a typical man's life, you know, of the brokenness, of hiding from God, of pursuing beauty in the form of a woman and lust. And I mean, there were some gripping moments in this film. I'm not going to give it away, but man, that scene in the pool where the man's there with the woman, I mean, it's unbelievable how visceral it was in telling the truth about the mistake he was about to make, you know, and I just commend you guys for going the extra mile to try to do this in such a cool way. And part of what, you know, I know you're after here is helping really people uncover the fact that the brokenness that any of us has is redeemable, that we're just never too far away from the Father, that there's nothing we've done that can keep us from his love. And I'm sure for you to write and work through this process, and the people you had involved, from William Young to Dan Allender, who I've loved Dan Allender for many, many years, and his work, and Jackie Hill Perry. So you involve these other voices who are also offering some incredible input into how to think about this. But it had to be for you just personally impacting. Will you just describe a little bit about for you as you went on this journey personally in storytelling, what it was doing inside of you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I grew up with a great dad, like a great earthly father, and that cannot be said by most of my millennial counterparts. In fact, almost half of us come from broken homes. And then even a generation back, my dad's generation didn't grow up where his dad was holding him by his shoulders, looking him in the eye and telling him how much he loved him. He worked really hard to show his love, right? But he never heard the words, "I love you, son. You are my son, you know, in whom you have my full love and trust." And so as I started to write this, it was like I had a good frame of reference and a good window to look at the God, North American evangelical stream that I find myself in. There's this sort of theology that, like, God the Father is this distant one, and he can't look at you because you're too broken and messy. He's got to look at you through Jesus. He can't touch you otherwise. And it's like, well, I think post the cross, there is this access that we have to him. And there's this complete new shame-free identity that's been birthed in us. And that is the most true thing about us. Ontologically speaking, we are now completely new creations. We're no longer just saved sinners. We're saints. And so that's the kind of the believer sort of frame of reference for it. And that's something that's been an evolution of discovery for me on this film. And then to my brothers and sisters who don't have the same faith or worldview I do, it's an awesome opportunity to see, hey, if this were to be real, this is an actual picture of who God the Father is, that he's going to be playing for you and with you your entire life. inviting you to develop this melody with him that will become uniquely yours. And he uniquely cares about you. And he's uniquely crafted you. It's helped add layers of marination to me. I mean, I went to Bible school and studied theology in Greece, and I thought I had gotten to certain places of understanding. And then it's like, no. Let's start again at zero. And right. Let's take that path again. Let's walk it together again.
We'll get back to this discussion between Gabe and Jason Paymer in a few moments here on Q Ideas. Again, the encore airing of the movie The Heart of Man is scheduled nationwide in select theaters for one night, Tuesday, October 17th. And you can find out more about the showing if there's one near you, how to get tickets, all that information at heartofmanmovie.com. Now, also, coming up in October, Gabe, Q Ideas will be bringing the Q Conference experience into cities around the nation and around the world with another Q Commons. Now, this past week, we had another dose of division in our country around the issue of athletes standing for the national anthem. And really, Gabe, that's just another example or symptom of the division in our country. And this is an opportunity for the church to engage our culture to bring healing.
Well, we need to do that because we need to proactively be a part of helping heal divides in our communities. And so in our culture today, when many of us are feeling the divide, we don't know what to do. And Q is creating an opportunity in many of the cities that you live in on October 26th to come together with other like-minded Christians who care about being a part of the solution, who care about healing our divided nation. That's the theme of the night. Q Commons is an amazing event that's taking place in over 150 locations simultaneously on one night. Over 25,000 believers come together, people that are, some are parts of churches, some are government employees, some are teachers in your community. Many are working as entrepreneurs, business leaders in their community. Many are just mothers and fathers who are concerned about where this culture is going and how we as Christians ought to be leading, how we ought to be a part of the solution. We can't just bury our head in the sand. We have to be the ones that look up, that understand the times, and that know what to do. And so go to qcommons.com and see if there's a location near you. I know we have them in this listening audience in Minneapolis. There's also one in Madison, Wisconsin. But wherever you're at, see if there's one near you. And if there's not, there's still an opportunity for your church to host. And so on that particular night, your church can host Q Commons. We deliver it via private simulcast. We stream this to you. You'll hear David Brooks, New York Times op-ed columnist, but most importantly, the author of a book called The Road to Character. He's going to talk about how virtue is essential for us as Americans to know how to lead better in our communities. We're also going to have Dr. Kara Powell talking about how to confront our technology addiction. We're going to better understand how technology is dividing us and how we can overcome that through human relationship and human contact. Third, propaganda. He's a spoken word artist, an amazing prophetic voice, talking about our complicated moment. Also on the private simulcast, I'll be giving a talk about why culture matters, how the gospel calls us to care about our cultures. We can't just walk away. We can't turn a blind eye. John Stonestreet, who offers Breakpoint Commentary, is also going to be giving a talk so we can better understand our times and know what to do. We're going to have a panel on current issues that are affecting Americans and the struggles that we all have. It's going to be a night dedicated to you as a Christian, being thoughtful, being curious, understanding, but more importantly, connecting with those around you who care about the Christian's role in renewing culture, in being a light in the midst of the darkness. And so please go to qcommons.com, find your city. If you can't find your city, host in your church. Push that button, host in your church. Give us your information. Let us get in touch with you about how you can be the one that helps bring this conversation to your city at such an important moment.
Thanks, Gabe, and yes, I'm with you. I'm so looking forward to Q Commons this year. Let's get back to your conversation with Jason Paymer about the Heart of Man movie. Again, there's a special one-night showing at select theaters nationwide October 17th. Let's rejoin the conversation.
It's a compelling way of helping people get a new insight into that and to be reminded, really, of things you hear theologically. And maybe you've been told your whole life, but to see it played out is just really, really powerful. And part of the goal, I know in the next few days, I mean, there's a big night coming up where you have people coming in almost every city across the country that are going to be able to watch this film on this one night event. That must be really exciting for you to just realize how many people are going to get exposed to this, not just for the sake of watching this story that you helped portray, but really because of the beginnings of impact that it's going to start to have on so many lives.
Yeah, I mean, we've had sneak peeks into how this film enters into people's stories. We released it back in the fall online to about 8,500 people have given to this film from around the world, and they shared it, and it got viewed almost 50,000 times from people who just kept wanting to consume it because they'd never tasted this aspect of the Father. They never had this glimpse of him this way. And so we had to shut that down. We're hoping that 100,000 of our friends and family come out just to experience the kicking of shame in its teeth and the revealing of the heart of the Father for all of us in the midst of our darkest moments. So it's exciting for me. It's almost 4 years to the week I started on the project. Wow. You know, over the last 4 years, I've hired about 150 people from around the world. I mean, we recorded the score in Eastern Europe, and we shot the documentary all over the U.S., and we shot the narrative in the Big Island of Hawaii. And so it's been fun to touch some of the greatest independent artists in my genre today, and then link arms with guys that have gone before us and done it before us. You know, one of my EPs is Brian Burt, who just wrote Case for Christ and co-produced that and wrote Captive with David Oluwelu and Paramount and Kate Mara. I mean, he's been writing and producing in Hollywood for 35 years. And so he's on calls with me almost every day. And so it's good to have someone like that who's weathered some storms and then seen real beauty come from years and years worth of effort and work. And so I'm hopeful. We've got a team spread across the country. We hope people get a good glimpse. And, you know, yeah, it's a unique experience, right? We filmed a 30-minute after show with some of the people you mentioned, Dr. Dan Allender, Pastor Chad Beach from Zoe in Los Angeles, Bruce McNichol from True Face, the LaVornes are in the film, just Jackie Hill Perry, the lead, the prodigal in our film, and myself. And we just kind of dialogue like you and I are now about the deep themes of the mm-hmm. film, the major sort of moments. So that as people walk out of that theater and go to their car and think, should I confess? Is this the moment I should reveal some of the dark places in my heart? We just want to help them think well about that and the timing of that and the safety net. So it's a one-time experience you can experience in theaters after the film.
Yeah, and even though it's called Heart of Man, I mean, your goal is women would be impacted. I mean, this isn't just a film for men.
Oh, totally. Yeah, we even rebranded. It was the Hearts of Men. And there was this team, it's our curriculum publisher down in Austin, the Fed agency. They're a group of 10 women. They're world class. I mean, they do Thibault's book, Judith Smith, just a bunch of friends. They do all their books, their book deals. And they had seen the film as an entire team multiple times. And we went down there to meet with them. They said, this film is for us. We are that prodigal. But that title does not invite us into that story. And so that's where we kind of came up with the Heart of Man, shorthand for mankind.
Right.
Keeps it in the ethos and in the lane, but opens it up top. The funnel widens for, I mean, 60% of our audience online is female. Hmm. It's like they are the ones that get the deep themes of the film quickly, and they resonate deeply. And a major theme in the film is abuse and how abuse has played a part in almost all of our stories to some degree or the other. Mm-hmm. And it's at the genesis of our sexuality in terms of our choices, right? How we choose to go into X, Y, or Z lifestyle, at the genesis of almost all of them is a story of abuse to some degree. I mean, Dan Allender talks about how most of us guys were exposed to porn by an older male, and that's actually a form of sexual abuse. Mm. It thwarted and morphed our view of our own bodies, of our female counterpart, their bodies, of sexuality in general. It's just kind of, this is again, just an example of how my thinking has been reframed on the film.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And I mean, would you recommend a certain age in terms of teenagers to be a part of this? I mean, is this kind of an event that fathers and sons can go to and create all kinds of great conversations?
Yeah, the MPAA has kind of put a PG-13 rating on it. I mean, we were doing screenings in Dallas, and we heard stories of fathers taking their 13, 14-year-old sons after the screening. The kid did not want to go home. He just wanted to drive around for a couple hours to talk about. Mm. Again, that's anecdotal, but we've seen that happen again and again. Yeah. Like, you know your own kids, right? So how have you talked about sexuality yet, or have you? And have you talked about, if you've entered into some of these conversations, I think this is a great continuation. For those that haven't, most of our kids are being exposed to these things in a much more insidious way at a much earlier age. Mm-hmm. So I think that 13, 14-year-old is actually primed to hear, this is the heart of the Father for you as you enter into these choices. And as you walk off those cliffs and as you enter into those lagoons and as you find yourself in those caves, this is what he's saying about you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for your leadership in trying to convey such a difficult concept, but such an important one that in our culture today is critical, because if we don't get to the roots of so many of the symptoms that we see in our society around the objectification of women or the over-sexualization almost every aspect of media, entertainment. We just see so much on that front, and for our children, it's becoming, you know, more and more desensitized. They're not as sensitive to what we would have thought 20 years ago, you would think, as it relates to discussions around sexuality. And so the opportunity you're creating is a way to have conversation, a way to learn, a way to see this through the lens of our Father, which is one that's very healthy, that leads to redemption, leads us back to Him, leads us really to who we were meant to always be, versus yes. to falling into the lie that is promised to us, or the idolatry that leads us into places of destruction. And I know you and I both have seen so many people we love who've just been caught in these lies and in the deceit and the distortion of the enemy. And they never had anybody to talk to about it. And they felt so alone. They felt isolated. They felt like they couldn't reveal something that was happening deep in their soul. And I feel like what you're creating is an opportunity for conversation, which in a world today that's very divided and people don't know who they can trust, to have the opportunity to stimulate a conversation is going to be a very helpful moment for the church, for those who aren't even believers, who are feeling the angst in their soul from their own decisions and choices they've made in their life. And you're presenting them with this moment and an opportunity to participate. So I'm encouraging everybody listening, go see this. And if you're listening to this later, then go to the heartofmanmovie.com, because this is where the content is, the website is. That's where you're going to be able to stay up to date on what's taking place with the story of this film. This is one of those films that's timeless. And Jason, I just think we're going to see this film played out for many, many years to come, because you created it in a way that it wasn't marked by the moment as much as it's evergreen and it's timeless. And so I think it's going to be a resource for the world for many years to come.
Yeah, and I would just say to that point, Gabe, the pastors or the leaders that are listening, we have thought about you and how you want to steward this message beyond the theatrical, because again, that's just sort of the beginning in many ways. And we created a 130-page guide, which is sort of like a coffee table type experience. The aesthetic from the film follows into these pages, and we've got great thinkers that have spoken into this. You know, John and Stacey Eldridge and the True Face team and Dan Allender, and just many, many people have spoken into this thing, which is sort of self-reflection, but it's also used for groups. And so that'll be available on the site, like you mentioned, but that'll be available for people to continue to process the deep things of the film well beyond the theatrical.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you again for you and your team's work and the 4 years of effort. And we just hope that you feel renewed as you see this impact so many more lives in the years to come. And also, as you continue on future projects, man, we want to stay aware of the things you're thinking about, that you're working on. Any sneak previews into some of those things that are on your mind as you've, you know, clearly as a creative, you've moved into probably some new areas. Are you thinking about some new projects?
Yeah, I would say my producing team and I have a few different ones that we're kind of circling. A lot of them are true stories. They're kind of intense. They, you know, we kind of see this lane, this sort of like rated R lane, which is this sort of redemptive and real. These are where true stories tend to sit. And then you got to kind of have to dial it back. And so we're attracted to stories that just true ones that are inherent and saturated with drama and redemption there. You know, it doesn't have to wrap up neatly at the end, but for us, some of the greatest stories, Les Mis, Count of Monte Cristo, The Gladiator, these are fraught with really intense moments, lots of beauty, lots of excellence. And so our hope is that we can continue to journey and create more stories. And I am really proud that we've been able to partner with Q, because you guys have these conversations, and that was my first experience in Nashville. And I've not stopped talking about that experience, the way you run everything, from the amount of time that you guys give people to the intensity that they come to that platform with, the quality, bringing people that should not be sitting in the same room are sitting on the same stage and talking. And so for us, you know, you guys have been doing this years before this film was even thought of, in terms of having these really intense conversations about deep and meaningful things, doing it well, doing it with excellence. And so, you know, for us, we want to continue to partner with organizations like you guys. And I'm so happy to be on with you today, man. Thanks for having me.
Jason, thank you, man. It's a privilege to be in friendship and to try to push good things forward together. And so we're praying with you and for you, and excited about this film coming out in just a few days from now, and excited to just see the impact that it has. So thank you, and keep up the incredible work.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. Thanks, Q.
Well, as you heard from Jason, this project is much more than a film. This is about getting to the truth, getting to the heart of the matter for each of us and for any of us, no matter whether it's sexual sin that's been a temptation or whether it's just the sense of disconnectedness or a way in which sin maybe has gotten in the way of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. This film is one of those stories that just draws you in, and it draws you into a deeper level of thinking and conversation and awareness about the story God's trying to tell. And I think in a culture that's just busy, where we're very much inundated with information, that the art form in which Jason and his team produced this is just so beautiful. It's compelling. It just draws you in and creates incredible opportunity for conversation.
You know, Gabe, I saw the movie this past week and it was powerful, and I'm excited that our listeners have another opportunity to see it Tuesday, October 17th at a theater near them. They just need to go to, again, heartofmanmovie.com for more information. It's one of those special Fathom events that theaters do, but I'm sure that you'd urge people not to let the conversation be a one-night event. As a matter of fact, there's ways of taking the discussion further.
Go back to the heartofmanmovie.com site so you can actually engage with this content, this concept. See if there's ways you could utilize it, whether it's with a men's group, a small group, maybe it's part of a church service. But take advantage of these kinds of resources from people like Jason, who I think are innovative and really compelling in so many different ways. So enjoy that. And until next time, I hope you have a wonderful week. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.